As the dust settles from the events of the Duffy screw job, Ace goes missing and it's up to Jack and Crystal to bring him back home. But that's not Jack's only problem, as the turmoil within the DWL and his family's financial situation have him considering selling the Duffy Dome to Charlie Gulley of all people. We're talking Heels Season 1, Episode 2 on Pro Wrestling Repackaged. Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. My name is Chris.
And my name is Tessa.
And this is Pro Wrestling Repackaged, where the squared circle meets the small screen. In this episode, we'll be discussing Heels Season 1, Episode 2, Dusty Finish. But before we dive in, we didn't get to this last episode because there was just so much to cover. It's the series premiere. There's a lot going on. But there were some wrestler cameos in Episode 1. Namely, Doc Gallows, who many people may know from his time as Luke Gallows, or Doc in Impact, or Doc Gallows in New Japan, or Doc Gallows in Impact again, or Doc Gallows in AEW currently. Or Festus. I mean, let's be honest, most people would go to Festus.
Yes. I was going to say I was really disappointed that I missed him because he's part of one of my favorite tag teams.
Jesse and Festus? Really? Wow. You may also know him as Fake Kane, Freakin' Deacon, whatever you know him as. Sex Ferguson. A man of many names, a man of many ring names, Doc Gallows appearing in the episode. And you know, the funny thing is, I noticed, but for some reason I was like, oh, that guy just looks like Doc Gallows. It's not actually him. But then the second time around, I noticed the Talkin' Shop logo on his singlet. So Doc Gallows in there, as well as Sick Nick Mondo, who I'm guessing you have no. Okay,
no.
You're not exactly the CZW type.
No, I'm not.
But yes, very, very interesting. A few wrestling cameos already. None in this episode. There was no wrestling in this episode to speak of. But we will get some more. In fact, in the next episode, there is a wrestler who has been alluded to, but never directly advertised. So...
Ooh.
Build some hype for that. But let's dive into this right now. Heels Season 1, Episode 2, Dusty Finish, directed by Pete Segal. I'm just sticking to calling him Segal. That's just the way it is as far as I'm concerned. Written by Michael Waldron.
So the gist of this episode is that the wrestlers at the DWL are worrying about the fallout from the previous show. Meanwhile, you see Jack struggling with what direction to take the narrative, or as he pronounces it,
narrative.
And the whole promotion, especially after he receives an enticing offer from FWD's Charlie Gulley.
My favorite. Charlie Gulley, really, he stole the show for me, but we'll get to all that. I think this episode overall, before we dive in really into the minutiae, I think this one kind of grabbed a hold and slowed down the pace from the first episode, which is fitting since this is a drama about a regional Southern wrestling promotion. What better way to really dive in for episode two than to just grind it down to a bit of a halt, slow down the pace, which it's a family drama. It's the South. It's a slow pace. This isn't going to be bing, bang, boom. We're not going to be jumping from one thing to the next. It's a slow burn story that they're telling. So I'm willing to extend that to them. I know some people felt that not a lot happened in this episode. And while that is true, not much from a plot point happened in this episode. We did get some good character development and more Crystal, which is always a great thing.
Yes, I am still standing strong in my support for Crystal. However, with this episode, I do think that it did not have enough Wild Bill.
Well, I mean, I think we got to see a little bit too much Wild Bill.
That's true.
If you ask me. We'll save that for the fashion report. Save that for Wild Style. But overall, I think a good follow-up to episode one, not what many would have hoped. I was left a little bit wanting in terms of, man, where's more of the fallout? This is like an underwhelming Raw after a big pay-per-view type of feeling. It was not that I was underwhelmed with this episode, but it's like, yeah, but there's so many things still on the table that we haven't really examined fully. I wanted more time with the locker room, their reactions, their feelings coming out of this. If this could happen to Ace, imagine what happens to us. I wanted more exploration of that, which I'm sure we'll get.
Right.
Which I'm sure we will get. You know, we're having another show in the next episode from what we've seen. We will dive into all of that in good time.
What I did like about this episode is we start to see a little more about Jack's non-wrestling life, like not just his family. We finally see what his day job is.
Yeah. Something that hadn't even crossed my mind going into this episode is that, oh yeah, this guy would have a day job, right? He's not running the DWL 7 days a week.
Well, the way they talked, I was kind of wondering if maybe in the first episode, I was wondering if maybe he did, but turns out he's just a lawnmower salesman.
Although, I don't know how many lawnmowers he's selling. I think he just goes in the back and writes the script, honestly.
That's what it looks like. And I also liked more background info. We start to learn how Ace actually got involved in wrestling, because that's something we had been wondering about.
Right. And it turns out that it's not something that he's been doing for a very long time.
No, only like a year, I think, actually less than a year, because he's only been wrestling since their father died.
So we did get a lot more context for some of these things that were question marks in episode one. So in that respect, there was a lot of very useful information and character development that happened in this episode. Not a lot of wrestling in this episode. In fact, no wrestling at all, which is probably a good thing for Stephen Amell, considering he broke his back while filming the first episode on that Van Terminator.
Yikes.
Or Coast to Coast, as he calls it. He actually revealed that on Rene Paquette's podcast, Oral Sessions, that he fractured his T10 and L1. But he went back to work like a few days later.
That's crazy.
Like a true wrestler. Yeah.
Your back is broken. What are you, Shawn Michaels?
Yeah. Stephen Amell breaking his back on that Van Terminator. I think it was a case where he said that he shot it, he didn't like the way it looked, he did it again, and then bam, he's done. And that's why I think you don't even see him take the bump after that.
Oh.
I think they cut away. So, man, he went for it. I mean, there's one thing you can say about Stephen Amell is that he's going to go whole hog into this physicality. You know, that's what he really gets charged up on. And boy, did he. He's gotten like the entire wrestling career experience, like in a condensed, like 8-episode time frame. It's pretty remarkable on his end. So I applaud him for his dedication to the craft here.
Wouldn't be me.
Well, he loves playing this Jack Spade character. That's the sense that I get. He really loves this. I think he'd love for this to go on for a long, long time. So, and we hope it does. We hope it does here at Pro Wrestling Repackaged. This is what we live for. This is what we're here for. But let's talk about the main story of this episode, which is essentially just like, so what now? What happens now? And what does happen now?
Yeah, well, so of course we see, you know, Jack dealing with his day job and all of that. And he's getting harassed by his mom because while he has to, you know, continue his life, you have Ace who's just sitting in his room all day, messing around with Crystal, playing video games, eating casserole.
Living the life.
Constantly calling Wild Bill, will not stop calling him. He's like a really annoying, I guess, ex-girlfriend in this situation.
Oh, yeah. Blowing up Wild Bill's phone. not playing it cool at all. He's freaking out. He's freaking out that he lost his opportunity, and he's freaking out that if he does stay in the DWL, that he's going to get booed out of the building. He's going to get trash thrown on him. And he doesn't want that. The one takeaway from this episode is that he does not want to be booed. And he explicitly tells Jack that later on in the episode when they're outside the hospital. And this is something that's going to be like, we know, you know, he's going to be a heel. There's just like, this is just the course of action here. There's no other option for him. So his process of getting over that and warming up to the fact that he's gonna have to do this if he wants to work in this territory, it's gonna be real interesting to see from a character growth perspective.
And he's such like a slimy guy, I feel like, that he would make such a perfect heel. So all he needs to do is just like reel in all that like garbage energy that he clearly has.
Yeah, focus
and
it.
Like,
focus the energy. Yeah. Focus the garbage energy.
and just project that into the ring and into his character.
Yeah.
And I think that could be... We love garbage characters. Like, think of all of the just sleazy slime ball heels that have existed in wrestling. They get over. He could get over.
Yeah. He could be such an effective heel that he finds his way back into a babyface position just because. Because that's usually what happens when you become a top heel. But, you know, it's interesting because we said in the first episode that the Spade brothers are both kind of jerks. And the mom's a jerk, too. Yeah, so you can see where they get it from.
Runs
don't,
in the family.
Don't know what Papa Spade was like, but Mama Spade, she's a jerk. A judgmental jerk. But I think the line being drawn here is that Jack is more of kind of an honorable jerk. Even more of a lovable jerk at times. Ace does have a few moments where it's like, okay, he's kind of lovable. Like when he's talking about going getting Crystal. Not Crystal, not the
They're going
character,
to like a fast food joint.
Which is very confusing to have a fast food joint named after one of your characters. But he has those moments, but then you're also like, he's a slime ball, like you said. Yeah. So he is more of a dishonorable jerk. So that line is being drawn there to where, yeah, they're both technically heels, you know, but in real life, Jack leans more towards being the face.
Jack at least seems more self-aware, yeah. I think. Ace just, he does all kinds of garbage. He uses Crystal. He takes advantage of her. He's rude to, you know, cashiers in stores and thinks that he can still come off as a good guy. And you can't. When you're publicly doing bad things out in the open, how does that work?
It doesn't, but he thinks that it's something that should be automatically given to him.
He thinks he's a good guy for whatever reason. But Jack, at least, can tell. He knows he's kind of wrong a lot.
He's just stubborn.
Very stubborn.
He's too stubborn for his own good.
Yeah, and that stubbornness that, you know, led to him screwing Ace, now, you know, that's he's self-aware. He's aware that that's really screwing him here because he can't figure out how the next show is going to go. He hasn't written anything.
This whole thing about where's the script? Where's the script? We can't possibly run a wrestling show. We couldn't possibly have wrestling matches without the script is one of the things that is already in episode two starting to annoy me because you need obviously a plan laid out. You need someone to book the match. But I get the sense that these wrestlers in the locker room don't have a clue what to do unless Jack writes out every move. Drop, toe hold, Irish whip. Like, come on. You're wrestlers. You should be able to call this stuff in the ring. You just need a finish and a general booking direction. And it seems like Jack, first of all, number one, he doesn't delegate. Number two, he needs it to be done to the T. So he's putting all the pressure on himself to write these scripts that are totally unnecessary in the context of a wrestling promotion. And also, he's burning himself out on because he's booking himself into a corner and he has to write these whole big elaborate things. It doesn't need to be this hard, buddy. You need Charlie Gully's help here.
Yeah, it's one thing if he's, you know, would be helping Bobby Pin, for example, try to figure out where to go with his character. But he doesn't
Bobby
need
Pin
to be,
does not need help.
He doesn't. No, he's Turquoise.
Turquoise.
Now. But these other guys are experienced. They know what they're doing. So this, like, it feels like the script is being used as a crutch. And now here he is. He doesn't know if Ace is going to be on the next show. Ace is waiting to hear from Wild Bill. He finally hears from Wild Bill. And guess what? They don't want him anymore.
Well, that's not surprising.
Yeah.
When there's videos on YouTube or whatever the YouTube equivalent in this universe is of wrestler cries like a baby that even Stacey Spade is getting in her feed.
She's watching them.
You think they relate to David Spade?
Oh. You know, well, again, the guy who directed these past couple episodes has worked with David Spade.
What if he guest stars? Wouldn't you love that?
I would love that.
Okay, moving on here.
That'd be funny. But so, yeah, so Ace now, you know, up north, they don't want him anymore because he looked like...
He looked like a chump.
He looked like an absolute joke.
Who would want to book this guy?
And everyone...
It's like how every, like, NXT call-up has been happening for, like, the past year. It's like, well, who would want to touch this guy with a 10-foot pole immediately coming off of that? You need some time. You need some time after that. He needs to go away and do something else. Well, like, I think Wild Bill was saying, hey, go get booked in Florida Wrestling Dystopia.
Right.
Like, they're on the come up.
Then you can go somewhere else. You'll get away from the disaster that is Duffy, and then you'll be fine. But I don't think Ace really wants to do that. And so he just kind of self-destructs here. He gets drunk. He ends up at a bar where Our buddy Rooster is leading karaoke.
First of all, let's talk about this. Rooster's karaoke gig that he's got going on the side. I don't know if he works at the bar or he just like brings his karaoke to the bar. Either way, I think it's amazing. First of all, I love Rooster's sense of style. I love the way he dresses. He dresses like he'd be like hanging out with like Rocky Johnson and the gang in the early 80s.
Speaking of which, I gotta give a shout out to Laura Bauer, who's the costume designer on this show. She's really killing it with these outfits, or lack thereof, when we talk about Wild Bill.
She didn't have anything to do with that. She didn't design the birthday suit, but Chris Bauer's wife, Chris Bauer, who plays Wild Bill.
But yeah, this scene, you know, Ace, like I said, he's getting drunk. He goes up and decides he's going to do some karaoke, and it's bad.
He may
or may not be crying up there. He's getting heckled. By the locals.
Completely brought down the whole. Rooster Robbins just killed it. He was doing a duet, just killed it. Everyone's having a great time. And then here comes Ace with his sad song and his sad everything.
He's just sad. And he ends up goading one of the locals who isn't as drunk as him.
Yeah, a guy dressed like the brawny man.
Yes. And they're about to brawl. And a big fight's gonna break out. And it does. But luckily, Jack had been called by his mom to come and find Ace because he disappeared and everybody's so worried about Ace. And so Jack and Crystal come in and save the day. They all fight for him.
Yeah. And it's something to see the Spade brothers team up in a bar fight, but not just in a bar fight where they are doing wrestling sequences.
Right.
Like they're like Irish whipping dudes into the other dude for a lariat. Like they're doing wrestling moves here in this bar fight.
Well, yeah. And
which is funny. And it's like, okay, this is the reality of the show, is like these wrestling moves could actually injure someone who is not cooperating with them. Which wrestling moves in real life can do that if you're not cooperating correctly, but in this context it's like these are actually offensive maneuvers that can hurt you.
Yeah, I mean, this is why they say don't try this at home. And then they get, you know, Rooster gets them out of the place because they're wrecking his job.
Yeah,
his gig is in jeopardy here, but there's still a little feud. And then we have that classic moment from the trailer where Crystal comes in and takes the brawny man out with a Hurricane Rana.
And again, completely unrealistic, but it's like the perfect punctuation on that whole scene. And they're both just kind of like, well, damn.
Yeah.
And I think that's the moment where the tide really turns for Crystal in this episode. That's a huge aspect of this episode that I think we're going to dive into in a little bit. Because Crystal comes out of this episode with, as they would say on WWE commentary, momentum. The big Mo. She's on the Mo train.
Yeah, she looks great in here, but really, I guess the story is about the brothers kind of patching things up a little bit. You know, Ace is still very, even after they have this little bonding moment in the bar and then in the car on the way to Crystal.
Yeah, his drunken ramblings and his, like, Alex Jones conspiracy theories, yeah, and weird songs he's singing and just generally being unbearable.
Yeah, but once he sobers up, he still hates Jack. And so we get this moment, you know, Big Jim and his wife, they just had their baby. Ace won't come into the hospital because he knows Jack's there. And Jack has to come out and kind of to appease his mom, patch things up with him and say, hey, look, we're both kind of going nowhere as is. So we have to work together and make something of ourselves in this stupid little town of Duffy.
Because we learn for Jack that a normal life is not enough. So basically, yeah, his wife and kids, completely worthless.
He said, F that kid, F him and his soccer.
Like, I don't know. Like, you seem like you got a pretty cool wife. The kid, yeah, he cheers for your brother. You probably hate him because of that. You won't mow the grass so he can play soccer. But Jack's he's slacking off at home. He's not taking care of the squirrels in the attic. Mm-hmm. He's not cutting the grass. He's not doing these things that, for some reason, he's the one who has to do, even though he's the one who works and runs a wrestling promotion. And his wife is just sitting there strumming her acoustic guitar at all times.
Well, we learn a nice little thing about...
What does she have, a Star Search audition coming up?
Yeah, exactly. We learn a nice little thing about Jack, actually, as we're talking about the squirrels in the attic. He almost runs over an animal in the street when him and Crystal are going to look for Ace. And she's like, you'd rather, you know, get into an accident than kill an animal? And he's like, I feel bad.
Yeah, but you went hunting. Yeah, but I always felt like shit after.
So,
like the way he says it, it's so like begrudgingly. And then he's like, oh, wait, did I just say that? Did I just open up a little bit to this whatever she is, valet? I don't even know. I don't even know why she comes to my shows. Like, that's his attitude immediately. And it says a lot about how like Crystal gets him to open up and be a little bit more vulnerable. And it's like another win for Crystal, I think.
We love Crystal.
Just add to the tally here.
She's doing it.
She's doing Hurricane Rana's outside a bar fight. She's saving the day. She's bringing Ace home, and she's getting Jack to be a little bit more vulnerable. I think she can do anything.
She's a queen. We love her. She's my favorite character on this show so far.
Yeah. Charlie Gully's my favorite character, but that probably just has more to do with my Nickelodeon nostalgia than anything. But I mean, I think Michael Malley's incredible in the role, but Crystal as well. It's 1A and 1B.
But yeah, so we have the brothers, they're patching things up, but that doesn't mean that like there isn't trouble on the horizon for the DWL. You know, one of the big things happening on the side is that Charlie Gully wants to purchase the Deafy Dome.
Good old Charlie Gully. He swoops in when the time is right. He's fast talking. He's wheeling and dealing. He's got some sort of a rapport with Willie that tells us that this is not the first time they've met for coffee or whatever. It seems like they have kind of a standing thing going on. Like, she has this kind of history with Charlie Gully and with Wild Bill that I hope we explore and add a little bit more depth to her character. Because as of now, she's still just kind of like a jerk.
Yeah.
But she is, you know, she does defend Jack and she does stick up for him and she defends the promotion. So she is, you know, we know she is loyal. And we know that she has this history in the business that we have yet to explore. So it'll be interesting when we get to peel back more layers on Willie. But for Charlie Gully here and his quest to purchase the Duffy Dome, and just the way he cuts down Jack, it's like, man, this guy is so... Michael Malley is great in this role. Charlie Gully is like, in this universe, he's probably one of the best talkers in wrestling. Like, he's probably just a guy that you could just put out there and just talk people into buildings. Like, I get that sense because he just, man, especially in the South,
yeah,
he can just cut up at a mile a minute, you know, at that type of pace where people probably, like, their head is in a whirlwind by the time he's done and all they can do is just boo the shit out of him. So Charlie Gully, probably my promo of the year, best on interviews 2021.
I feel like part of the charm here with him is also much like Wild Bill, it's the look.
Like, oh, yeah.
Just everything, what he's wearing, just his whole vibe.
Yeah, he's like, I kind of get the sense that he's a bit of a try-hard, like, wannabe mm-hmm. biker guy, which makes it even better, which makes his whole, like, get-up even better because it's probably inauthentic.
Yeah, like, he's got that bandana, he's got the patches on the vest. It's like, he's not Wild Bill level. He is not Wild Bill level to me. But
no.
He's... Give him some time.
Well, Wild Bill is a legend in the wrestling business from, you know, the 80s and the heyday. And Charlie Gully is kind of being positioned as this, like, money mark who kind of, you know, Johnny come lately, booking car crash wrestling in Florida type of thing.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that, the car crash wrestling. Jack and Willie's attitude towards Charlie Gully and that whole wrestling promotion is, I feel, kind of disrespectful to the whole indie wrestling scene of today and all of its fans in a way. Just consider just a couple weeks ago on Dynamite how much people were freaking out over Nick Gage and his pizza cutter thing with Jericho. You know, that clearly sells. It gets a lot of notoriety and attention.
GCW does good business.
Yeah. And so my question here is the show criticizing that kind of wrestling, or is it criticizing Jack and Willie's attitude towards it and that unwillingness to go to the future and think further than just 1985?
I guess we'll kind of see what the show's perspective on that is when we get to see more of Florida wrestling dystopia, because we were watching an interview and it was revealed by, I believe, Michael Waldron or Michael Malley, that there's an episode that will really be centered around Florida wrestling dystopia. And we actually get to see. I am so curious, but it's like, what? How are they doing this?
Yes, because the footage is all TNA.
Are we going to go set up the old Impact Zone? Like, what are we doing here? Like, you, now you're getting me real interested. Are we gonna, is Mike Tenay going to be in the show? Like, what's happening? Like, they're showing a lot of footage of Judas Macias in this particular episode because of the blood and guts aspect of it. That's what they're really selling. You know, they have people looking at all this footage of Judas Macias and the blood gimmick that he used to do. Judas Macias, also known as Mil Muertes, for those who watch Lucha Underground. But it's really interesting how much they're utilizing, you know, even in episode 2, all this old TNA footage, to the point where I'm like, well, what are they going to do when we actually go there? Are they booking Mil Muertes?
Yeah, that's what I'm most curious about at this point, because they keep relying on, and they show both the six-sided ring footage of TNA and when they went to the four-sided ring. So what is this promotion?
Too bad they didn't show the two-sided ring from the Paparazzi Productions. You don't remember that.
No.
Never seen a two-sided ring before. Madagascar. Someone out there will get it. I'm leaving it in. I'm not editing it out. Madagascar. Okay, let's get back to it.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting to see. And you have the DWL roster. They're watching this footage. And I think they're kind of thinking, maybe I'd be better off there. Maybe I should try going there. Because at this point, they don't trust Jack.
This is just everyone in WWE watching AEW and being like, you know, oh, that's a blood and guts promotion. It's pretty much exactly it, except for the fact that the AEW analog is literally called Florida Wrestling Dystopia, and that's if WWE changed their name tomorrow, that I couldn't think of a more apropos name.
But yeah, so like Florida Wrestling Dystopia seems to be really, they're doing something.
They're on the cutting edge in this universe. I mean, it's pretty much ECW in the mid-90s.
Sure.
But the timeline here is different. Because we're in a universe that still feels like the 80s, even though they have MacBooks. So who knows, you know, what the trajectory of wrestling was. It was obviously a very different industry from what we know today.
Right, which kind of leads into more of the DWL's roster's concerns with wrestling. Because again, they're concerned because Jack screwed his own brother. What's going to happen when it's my turn? And you have Rooster, who thinks he's owed a shot. But maybe the reason why he's not getting a championship shot is because of a race issue. It's kind of implied that he might think that.
But Apocalypse mentions that they put the belt on him, right?
Yeah.
And he had a whole stint in rehab and everything.
There was an issue.
His sobriety, and Jack was loyal to him and he took care of him and brought him back. So you have an argument from both sides here. Mm-hmm. But then you also have Diego Cottonmouth saying maybe it's time for a Latino champion. And these are all things that I feel like they probably are going to touch on in a later episode, because right. We still don't have the actual interaction between the roster and Jack regarding all of the fallout of this and maybe feelings that they've been pushing down about how they're being treated. And now they see how he's treating his own brother, who just kind of steamrolled all of them right into the main event. What happens with them? I think it's a very, very valid concern. It's very interesting. I wanted more of that. I wanted more focus on the locker room's concerns. I wanted more focus on their individual hopes for their spot, you know?
Yeah.
Outside of Bobby Pin, they all seem like they're pretty well established in DWL. So it's just a matter of, like, who is Jack actually willing to push? And now that we know that Ricky Rabies is going to be coming in and he's an outside talent and they're booking him on the show, and he's, again, that's a guy who's probably being booked in the main event, and that's a spot that they all want. So that to me is like completely ripe for storytelling there.
Right. And Big Jim is theoretically out at this point. He's retired. So who can fill that spot? Who can fill Ace's spot? Because at this point, they don't think Ace is going to be wrestling with them. But I feel Apocalypse is a little too chill about all of this.
Well, he's just remembering when Jack and his father took him in and he's just trying to stay out of the drama. Because the one thing we know about Apocalypse now is that he says, save the drama for your mama. Apocalypse, he's the type of guy where he's not going to make the big fuss because he was taken care of and he feels that sense of loyalty. And maybe it's not as big of an ego thing for him as maybe it is for the wrestlers who haven't had that time in the sun yet. And they want a taste of it. And rightfully so.
I mean, he tells Rooster that Jack isn't a mind reader. Just tell him, you know, what you're thinking. Tell him about your concerns and then he'll know and you can move forward. But at the same time, we know Ace talked to Jack about his concerns and look where that got him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at this point, yeah, Jack's not entirely trustworthy to them or to me. And he shouldn't be to Crystal either.
No, don't trust him, Crystal. You gotta be very careful. I'd be interesting to see how Charlie Gully would book any of these guys.
Ooh. Do you think Charlie Gully would bring women in and have them be part of the blood and guts?
Ooh. I don't know. Charlie Gully seems like he could be kind of like an HLA type of guy. That would be his incorporation of women
into
the DWL. But then again, I don't know. He might be a progressive guy. We know he's talking about climate change.
He was. That was very surprising.
Yeah, Charlie Gully knows what's up.
I don't know if I want Crystal to be going down to Florida, but she's starting to be taken a little more seriously here in Duffy. We saw her, you know, really getting ripped into by Mrs. Spade.
Mama Spade.
Yeah, and I didn't like that.
Oof.
That didn't sit right with me.
I mean, she's the heel.
Yeah.
When the title of the show is Heels, I mean, look no further than Mama Spade.
Yeah, leave Crystal alone. Like, shut up.
Free Crystal.
But so when she helps Jack track down Ace, they kind of have this little bonding moment. As we mentioned earlier, Jack starts to open up to her a little bit, and he even starts to eventually come around to her and unfortunately gives her some chewing tobacco.
Yeah, see, this is quite possibly the dumbest thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think alcohol is really dumb. I think cigarettes, drugs, I think it's all really dumb and stupid. But chewing tobacco, more than anything, just seems not only stupid, but flat out disgusting. You do that for long enough, you lose your jaw. I mean, why in a world where people are terrified of getting a vaccine do they also willingly stick tobacco in their mouth and chew it up and spit it into a water bottle? I really think as humans, we've probably evolved past that point. I don't know.
We had a problem with this at my high school. I'm just going to say that.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
There was a whole, nobody was allowed to have plastic water bottles at my school because it was such a problem.
Wow.
So I imagine it's even worse down in Duffy.
Yeah. Crystal, what are you doing?
You're smart. You're so much smarter than this. You have, those kids are looking up to you on their trampoline.
She's wrestling with kids on the trampoline.
They think she's the best.
Crystal has a heart of gold. From what we have gathered from these two episodes, Crystal has a heart of gold. She loves wrestling. She's very knowledgeable about it. She has a great mind for the business. She's booking finishes that are even impressing Jack. And she's getting him to even open up a little bit. Maybe Jack needs to kind of let her into the fold.
I mean, you even have, at the end, Mama Spade is even starting to come around to her because she was there to help with Ace when even Jack wasn't.
And when Mama Spade was pushing her away, she was there before even Jack got there,
mm-hmm.
after Ace was found missing, and she was there at the end when they brought him home. I think that says a lot.
She's
I think Crystal is earning some respect.
She's the best.
I think she's moving up the card here just in life.
It's what she deserves.
Duffy. It is.
But we need
And she has a fast food joint named after her.
She
so
does.
Does she work there? Does Crystal work at Crystal?
Well, she does have another job. We know that. But I don't think they mentioned what she does.
Well, I can't wait to find out.
Oh my God, what if she works there?
Crystal working at Crystal.
We just need to get her not to have that chewing tobacco.
Yeah, let's
cut that out.
Lose the habit.
Stop that.
And, you know, actually, a moment that I really liked that involved Crystal in this episode was at the end, where everyone's at the hospital when Big Jim's baby has been born. And Crystal shows up. She gets there, presumably just getting off work. And Jack invites her in and kind of, you know, motions over to come in and said, do you want to hold it? And just, it's such a warm moment between two characters that pretty much had nothing to do with each other in the first episode. And also completely out of character from the man that we saw in episode one in terms of Jack. So character growth there, character growth for Crystal in terms of just being accepted now by Jack. And meanwhile, Ace is just kind of like hanging back at the door and not even taking part in all of this and being a part of, everyone is just thrilled. Everyone's happy. It's a great moment. It's a nice scene. And Ace is just kind of not there for it. But it's interesting that Jack and Crystal now have this connection.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you mentioned that Ace isn't really there for it, but at least he's physically present because I just thought, where's Willie?
Oh, that's a good point.
She's not there at all.
Well, she's probably hanging out with Charlie Gully or Wild Bill. Or Wild Bill. Speaking of which, I think now is as good a time as any to take a little trip down to parts unknown for the Wild Bill Fashion Report. Tessa, give us the wild style for this week.
Nudity.
I wonder how many different like neckties they went through.
Yeah.
To finally find the right one.
When we see him, he's in like a hotel room or something. He's completely naked apart from his sunglasses, his rings, and that weird tie. I don't know if it's a Texas tie. It's some sort of, it's not a Texas tie, but it's some like version of it, maybe. Maybe it's just a Wild Bill tie. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to describe it. But that's really all he's got going on here. If yeah. I were to rate it, I guess this is a one-star look because I had to see his butt. I didn't ask for that.
No.
I like Wild Bill, but I don't like him that much.
Yeah, this is why we save this for the end. I mean, hide your kids, hide your wife, Wild Bill, nude.
Yeah.
I didn't think that things would escalate this quick. I mean, we said not a lot happened in this episode, but...
Well, the episode began with nudity. With
yeah. What is the deal? It's just because it's like it's not like a network show that like every like drama show has to have like just people going at it at least once an episode.
Because you even have
and then you see some bosom.
You even have Jack and Stacy, and then they blame it on the squirrels.
I don't even.
And then she kills the squirrels, so they can't blame it on the squirrels anymore.
Are we leaving the? Fashion report, the Wild Bill Fashion Report. Are we now making we're exiting. Okay.
He was naked. That was it. Yes, I had to see his butt.
TLDR, Wild Bill in a post-coital birthday suit. We move on to our final order of business today, which is, as Frank Costanza would say, Stacy converting to Latvian Orthodox, that group that goes around mutilating squirrels. She straight up shoots a squirrel because she figures, you know what? Jack's not getting it done. I got to get it done. I got to do it all by myself. She goes up there. She shoots the squirrel.
That was upsetting. Then she mows the lawn for her.
Why not? While drinking a beer.
Which is a nice.
I would have loved it if in that scene they actually just played Jack's entrance music while she was doing all of this. The Hardcore Holly ripoff Jimmy Hart version.
She's not even mowing in any straight line. My dad would be so furious if he saw this. If that was his lawn and that's how she was doing it.
Well, it seems like Allison Luff maybe messed up a little bit while they were shooting. But that's a shot you only get once because they can't wait for that one section of grass to grow back. So I'm curious as to why they didn't cut sooner before she looks like she does a little squiggly.
Yeah.
But I guess she is drinking beer. Maybe she doesn't hold her liquor well. Maybe she doesn't hold her liquor well. Maybe she doesn't do this that often.
My dad drinks beer while he mows and he doesn't have that problem.
Your dad drinks beer while he drives.
At least he does.
That's allegedly, and no one can use this as evidence. Ugh. Like I said, alcohol is very stupid. Anyway, yeah, Stacy taking matters into her own hands. What's next? Is she going to go out and get a job?
Well, you know, he's not selling the Duffy Dome, so got to make money somehow.
You know what? Jack's going to storm into work. And, you know, when he storms into work, that's another situation where I wish they would just overdub his entrance music when he storms into work with bruises all over his face looking like he's about to murder. I would love it for Jack to walk into the back, into that little office, and Stacy's already there doing his work for him.
She's selling. She's got the right chair. She doesn't have to go in the room and whip out the steel chair and scare everybody because she's there on time.
Yeah. I love this fantasy booking that we're doing here. I think all of these things should happen, or maybe they will happen. But yeah, I think that just about does it for this episode. Any more thoughts before we get out of here?
I don't want to see any more Naked Wild Bill.
Are you sure about that?
I don't want to see that. And I hope there's no weird flashbacks where he's naked. That's not the Wild Bill I want.
Flashbacks to that moment where he was naked? Flashbacks to other times when he was naked?
Both, any and all. That's not the Wild Bill I want. I want the fashion.
So you don't want Gone Wild Bill?
No.
You don't want that?
No. That's not what I'm here for.
You want the full, fully garbed
yeah.
Wild Bill.
Ooh, what I want.
That's fair.
I want Wild Bill and Charlie Gully
Ooh.
Together.
Yeah. Interesting pairing. Would love to see that.
A walk-off.
Would love to see it.
A runway.
Oh, you're going to take it there then. Okay. All right. Well, you know, one thing that I am very much looking forward to that is coming up in the next episode is when we meet a certain Richard Rabies.
Richard and Victoria Rabies.
Oh, man. CM Punk. He's coming. He debuted at AEW.
Yeah.
He's coming to the Duffy Dome. This man is making the rounds.
I'm telling you.
I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up on Young Rock next season.
This is a marketing ploy. That's what this is. His AEW stint is a marketing ploy to get people interested in Ricky Rabies. I said it the first thing.
We'll see. We'll see. Hey, listen, if episode 3 does like a million more viewers than it's been doing, then, you know.
Well, I do know that people are waiting for Punk to show up. There are people who are there. They keep watching because they're waiting for Punk.
Well, what I want to know is, will Ricky Rabies be giving out ice cream bars to everyone in attendance at the Duffy Dome?
I was going to say, he's giving out, like, tetanus shots.
Oh, boy. I can't wait for that. And we don't have to wait very long because that's coming up next. But that'll do it for this episode of Pro Wrestling Repackaged. Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can let us know what you thought about all of this mess over on Twitter or Instagram at PW Repackaged, or you can send us an email, pwrepackaged@gmail.com. Join us next time when we discuss Season 1, Episode 3 of Heels.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PW Repackaged and email us at pwrepackaged@gmail.com.
Subscribe on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or your favorite podcast app. And visit pwrepackaged.crd.co for links to everything.
If you'd like to support the show, please consider leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or any other platform that features reviews.
Pro Wrestling Repackaged is a Multitrack Minds production. Visit multitrackminds.com for projects and audio production services by yours truly.